The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Hello, thank you for joining us. We're happy you're here. You might hear some like little glitchy sounds. I think I just heard one.
I heard it on you. Listen, everybody, we've restarted the computer. We've restarted the app. We've done this intro about three times.
We replugged.
Someday when we're, you know, picked up by a network and we're in a recording studio with a producer and a sound engineer, I can see it now. None of this shit will happen.
That's nice. That's a nice little fantasy you have.
Yeah.
I like that.
I like to fantasize sometimes. Oh, whose phone is that? That's Dixie's phone. If her name wasn't so darn cute, I would have gotten upset. But her name's Dixie. Shut it down, Dixie. Shut it down. Also, my twang, my southern drawl might come out because this is what happens to me when I'm talking to people with an accent. I'm one of those people who picks
You're
up
a mimic.
An accent. I am. Speaking of that, my husband, you all know me, I speak about him often, Jose Luis. For the last, I'd say, 6 to 9 months, about a year now, he's been working with someone who I know really well, Rosie Levia. We hang out. We have a lot of fun. But he started picking up the word literally, right? But he says it like this. And mind you, my husband's born and raised in Mexico City, so he has a very heavy accent. I don't hear it as much anymore, but if you met him for the, like, you know it. This is how he says it. Literally. He says, literally. Like that's like an English accent, right? Literally.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a lilt to how he's saying it.
Right. And his coworker, she's not English, but I've heard her say it and she says literally. Literally.
Literally.
Literally.
My sons, who are 10 and 6, so not adults, they overuse the word literally, but they only do it when they're like arguing and yelling at each other as if that is like what you do when you're trying to make a point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tom, who's 6, will be like, Joey, I literally just finished that and you literally came in and smashed it up and now I literally have to start over. That makes me mad. And then I just have to give them props for like expressing themselves.
And it's a kind of a grown-up, it's a grown-up word. But I feel like people are definitely in society using this more. They're using the word literally more. It's
been that way for a long time.
It's been happening, yeah. Right? But actually I would say like 2 years ago, Jose Luis used to get irritated with me for overusing the word literally. He's like, you should only use that word.
You've been married for more than 20 years, by the way.
Yeah, because you start to, there's just, Dixie, you know this. There's shit that you're just like, stop it. Stop it right now. You're driving me fucking nuts. So, Dixie, how long have you been married?
15 years.
Oh.
I had to think about that. I'm not a counter with that, but 15 years and 4 years together prior.
Okay. Okay. So
she's in between me and you.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait, is this your second marriage?
Yes. I did it wrong the first time.
Gotcha. Gotcha. All right. All right. Cause I was like, wait a minute. Your son's older than mine. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, still, this is Dixie Bagley. Am I saying it correctly?
You are.
I literally want to say it the right way. Dixie Bagley. And I'll read your bio here. Dixie is a successful wedding industry pro in Georgia and a wealth of knowledge when it comes to opening and running your own wedding business. Dixie's experience is particularly valuable because she has spent 10 years in the wedding industry as a venue owner and operator. She opened a bakery and an event planning company. So she's basically a powerhouse. You guys, venue, bakery, wedding planning. Hello. Dixie Bagley is the owner of The Farm in Rome, Georgia, a European farm estate set in the Northwest Georgia mountains. The venue focuses on working with couples who want to give their guests a relaxed and thoughtful countryside weekend experience. In addition to the Sweet Bar Bakery, Dixie Events and Venue Coach with the Bridal Society. Holy smokes, lady. You got a lot going on. Having previously been in the wedding industry for 10 years, Dixie has experienced a lot when it comes to weddings, from the highs of seeing a surprise proposal to the lows of no-show vendors and fighting wedding parties. She can pin a boutonniere in record time, believes that the wedding planning process should be both fun and stress-free. She loves the educational aspect of wedding planning and aims to make you and your guests feel both comfortable and welcome. Dixie is a master of multitasking and wants to do a cartwheel every time a couple says, "I do." Are you a gymnast too? Dixie holds a degree in exercise science from the American Council of Exercise and is a certified wedding planner and venue coach for the Bridal Society. When she's not hosting weddings at the farm, she and her husband Lee, an avid flyer, and dogs can be found flying in their plane, bouncing from Montana to Mexico. What a life, Dixie.
What a life. That's what I was just going to say.
Woo. Dixie, welcome, welcome. Everybody, so Dixie is a listener of the podcast.
Yes, for a while. Love it.
Yes. And we met you. Wait a minute.
Well, she became a patron.
Yeah. We met you because you became a patron. You so lovely and graciously have been donating to our cause here on the level that you got a 20-minute video conference with Christy and I.
Which turned into an hour.
Yes. Which turned into an hour easily, which as often does. But especially with you, because you are an industry person, and we're just fascinated by all that you do. Like, I mean, when are you not working?
When she's flying.
I'm pretty much slowed down about this time of year through March. And that's when my husband and I try to travel a lot because we both are so inundated with the companies that we own that even if we go to Montana and we can just sit and work on our computers and not have to go do the day-to-day of running around and meeting with people in person, we're still working and being effective, but still spending time, quality time together. So that's our whole point of kind of traveling and doing stuff like that.
That's awesome. What does your husband do for his business?
He is a builder, does commercial and residential, also owns a tree service, a crane service. We do conservation easements.
And where are you sitting right now? Because that looks like a huge space that you're in.
I'm in my office.
You're in your office. Okay. Nice. You have a nice big meeting conference table there.
Yes. You know, when people come for weddings, they bring all their people. So,
right. Well,
in the South, they do.
I was going to say, yes. Those are big wedding parties in Georgia, right?
Yes. Or in just the families, you know, it's not uncommon for the groom's parents to come. And if they're divorced, both sets of parents, you know, the brides, all the brides' parents and all their siblings. So it's not uncommon for me to do a tour literally and have 12 people, literally.
Literally. Hey, how did you fall into, what did you start with? The wedding planning or the venue or the bakery? What did you start with?
I started with the venue.
And how did that come about?
This barn was for sale, and it was just interesting. It's I don't know if y'all have looked at a lot of photos, but it's a very unique barn. And came out here and just wanted to look at it just for shits and giggles, really. And that night went home and drank my wine, and I drew out a floor plan to turn the top of the barn into a house and told my husband we were buying it, to which he said, "You've lost your mind." and then I showed him the floor plan, and he really liked it and thought it would be cool to turn this barn into a home. And so we purchased it and started working on remodeling it to make it our home. And then I did a wedding for a good friend who was supposed to, his son was going to propose that night at our house. He was a man who trained me to be a trainer, and he passed away while running a marathon, training for a half marathon rather.
Oh my goodness.
And needless to say, his son didn't propose that night. And so a couple months later, I just told my husband that I was going to offer to do his wedding here for free, and just we'd all make it come together and do it. And I did a wedding, and about 6 months after that, people begged me to start doing weddings, and I finally gave in.
Dixie, I'm looking at your website. I mean, it's beautiful. The barn, the detail on the wood, it's very cottagey feeling. Mm-hmm. If I look at
very European kind of,
yeah,
maybe, and a lot of the architecture out here, it's just not like your standard barns. I know everybody's selling up a barn venue now,
but right. I love that you're like, you're gonna tell your husband, "We're gonna buy that barn." And then he's like, "You're crazy." And then you were like, "We're going to do a wedding here." And he was like, "I can't with you anymore." But you're not telling us like, yeah, we sat down and like weighed the pros and cons and like tried to compromise. You were just like, "This is what we're doing."
Oh, yeah. He was convinced that we needed a board of horses here. And so while we were remodeling and everything, and I told him that you just can't make money with horses. It's just virtually impossible. We had horses here. And I mean, when the last one was gone and quit boarding, he was so grateful. And he was like, "You were right." And I was like, "Yes, did you hear that?" I was like, "I was right." Weddings, not horses.
It's really beautiful, Dixie. Although where the stables are in there, it's like a long, very long space. How many guests
yes.
do you get in there?
I can seat 170 if we do the long family style table, or if I do individual tables, I can seat 200.
Have you done just one huge long table in there?
That's the most popular, yes.
Yeah. Interesting. Wow. And then I'm seeing people dance in there.
Yeah. Well, we've got a breezeway right next to the barn. And then we've got a ballroom above the barn. So there's, we've really got about 13 locations as far as places to do things.
Oh,
but when
really
you bought
pretty.
The property, you weren't looking at it as like with the weddings on your mind, like this is where they can enter. And it came after that.
No. Yeah, no, I was not. If you told me then that I would be the wedding person I am now, I would have laughed in your face because that just was not my thing.
You mentioned one of the cottages, like he might move into one of the cottages. So it's not just venue, like where people can come have their wedding. People stay on the property. Did
yes,
it always
it's
have?
It's a 300 acre property and we have 7 cottages. And our most popular wedding package is the all weekend package, and people come here and stay, and we sleep like 28 people. So it's most of the time the wedding party and immediate family that stays here through the weekend.
Okay, like 4 to a cottage-ish?
Yes.
Is it like a room with bunks?
No, they're like full little houses, like 2 bedrooms. So yes, I have like 8 houses, including mine, on this property.
I mean, that's a dream, I think, but
it is.
You could just be hosting. You could just be like kind of a bed and breakfast type.
You
so
could.
This is the weddings are what became clearly your main
yes.
income, I guess. And then people staying is like, that's an added bonus that they get when they book a certain way.
Right. Yes.
Wow.
That's so great. Throw out the website, Dixie, that
it's thefarmroamega.com.
You need to look at this, everybody. Yeah. Okay. So that's awesome. So 28 people can be staying on site. Is there like a suite that's like specifically upgraded for the couple getting married?
I don't really call any of my cottages a bridal cottage or a groom's cottage. Now my couples do. We have one guest house. It's the largest cottage, and it's actually got heart-shaped windows and lots of stained glass. So yes, of course, the girls typically want to stay there.
That's so cute. That's cute. So we really want to gear this, and we can talk more, you know, bits and pieces about your journey into everything that you do. But I feel like I'd love to start getting into some meaty things in terms of what the listener here can take away from this episode. And I feel like it needs to be very venue focused in, you know, how to get more out of your venue. And so one of the things that we talked about is kind of things that venue owners wish couples knew. So we've done an episode on kind of like how to tour a venue, how to look at a venue, kind of how to choose a venue. But once you've got that venue, you know, as a venue owner, Dixie, what are some things that you wish couples knew?
Probably the biggest thing is that this is a business and it has to be taken care of. It's, you know, people come here for the weekend and they bring all their friends and they're here for a good time. And sometimes they kind of forget that it is a business and I work and, you know, to make and keep this property pretty from the time they booked a year ago, every weekend, you know, and maintain the integrity and keeping everything beautiful, not having cigarette butts thrown on the ground, just little things like that. I joke and call it other people's money. Well, the other person is me. And as a venue owner, it's my money. Yeah. And I'm paying a lot and doing it to keep this pretty and insured for their wedding date. And so just for them to keep in mind that it is, you know, it's somebody else's property and to take care of it while you're there, not just think, oh, well, it's my wedding and we're just going to have a free for all.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. And I think also it's hard, I guess, as the couple, you know, you might, as a couple, if you fall in love with a venue, obviously you want to respect it and you want to take care of it, but you can't really have that much control over your guests, right? Like the guests are kind of, they're the ones who don't give a shit. They're like, this is a party. I'm going to freaking have fun. Right.
Mm-hmm. A beer in each hand. Yeah. Drink as much as they can.
Yeah.
And any venue is going to have a contract or any legit venue that pays taxes and is licensed and insured and all of that. And you really need to read those contracts because it can be as simple as like, I mean, I've worked at a venue before where there was carpet on some part of like the foyer and it was a historical building and a big old glass of red wine was spilled on the carpet. And it's not like me and the venue manager are like, oh no, what do we do? Like, what we do is what is in the contract, which probably means that the couple have said, with maybe without even knowing it, that they will pay for any permanent damage if it can't be cleaned. You know, so you have to read the fine print and things like that with contracts.
Yeah. Yes, that's huge. And that's one of my big things is that people've got to read their contracts. And if they hire a wedding planner or some other wedding vendor, that it's probably helpful if they view the contract as well and they're familiar with the venue's contract and rules so that they know this. But, you know, not reading your contract is not an excuse for getting out of your contract.
Right.
Okay. What else do you wish they knew?
Oh, wedding planners are really needed. Good ones. That they do help. It's nice when somebody has a relative or a friend that's going to do things, but most likely that relative or friend is not familiar with venues like myself and other big venues and the rules and expectations that you have to be abided by. And that sets the friend or aunt or whoever up for failure, as opposed to a good wedding planner who's going to come in here and check out the venue ahead of time and make sure that she's got all the bases covered for her client and for the venue.
Yeah. Like she's reading that contract, she's in communication mm-hmm. with you. The wedding planner is going to ensure that the venue is taken care of and it's left the way that it was found, right?
Yes, absolutely. Keep them in line. And that's another thing too, is just, you know, for the couple to really realize that there's reasons venues have these things in place. There's reasons why we only work with certified vendors and people that have insurance, because we want them to have the best day possible. And if they're picking someone that's not a great vendor, we can't really ensure it's going to be a great day for them and a great fit for everything to flow the way it needs to flow.
So do you have a list of vendors that the couple has to choose from?
Well, I no longer have a list. My vendor list is so large. It's now a private group on Facebook. But I can normally pick, about three vendors in each category that I can recommend to my clients right off the top of their head based on their style and budget. And then if they have somebody that I've never heard of before, I will check them out and ask to see their insurance. And as long as there's not any terrible reviews out there about them doing terrible things, then I'm typically fine with that.
So you'll approve, they have to be approved by you if it's someone who hasn't worked there before.
Yes. There's honestly only probably like five people that are on my absolutely never again list. So,
You know, you mentioned insurance.
There are some.
Yeah. Yeah. You mentioned insurance, and there's something called COI, or Certificate of Insurance. Certificate of Insurance. And this is something that's a lot of venues require to you listening.
Yeah.
And it's something that can be easy or kind of a pain. And it's something that as a wedding planner, when I'm working with a venue for the first time, that's one of my very first questions. Do you require COIs of the wedding professionals working there? Because especially when you're deep in wedding season, if you're listening to this and you have a venue that requires a certificate of insurance, look at your contract actually, or if you don't know, call your rep. If this is not a question that you've asked or been told, be clear. Does your venue require a certificate of insurance? Because you need to start requesting that from your vendors now. ASAP, do not wait until the last minute. It's tough, especially the venues that are really, really strict on this. Those venues that are owned by cities, right? Government-owned venues, they might shut down the wedding. They might not even allow it to happen if they don't have a COI from every single wedding professional stepping foot on that property.
And you're suggesting that couples figure this out way in advance, because it can be really stressful and tricky to pull those at the last minute if they don't have them.
And not only, that, but that's just, it's even for the couple, that's a must. I mean, because let's just say that your photographer's light stand falls over on somebody's head, and causes them some type of injury. I'm not responsible for that. That's your photographer. And if he's not insured, what are you going to do? I mean, so just the importance of people picking vendors that are actually insured. A hobby is nice, but when you're paying this much for the most important day of your life, I just think it's really important to hire professionals.
And we have talked about how a couple can protect themselves individually too with wedding day event insurance, which for any of you that are planning, weddings on your parents' property or like somebody's estate or something that's actually not a venue, don't think insurance is still not. It is still very important, maybe even more so when there's kind of the unknown of like what would happen if a guest tripped and broke an ankle and wanted somebody to pay for the hospital bill. Anyway, it's not sexy. Nobody likes talking about it. It's not something you want to see on your to-do list, but it is, whether it's the kind of venue that, Dixie has and she's taken care of a lot for you, or, a public park, look into insurance for yourself and for all of your vendors.
And if you have fallen in love with a venue and that venue, you're like, I don't care. It's going to take up so much more of my budget than I anticipated, but I'll go cheap. I'll have friends do this. I will hire the least expensive, DJ I can find, or my friend is a DJ, or whatever it is. Again, find out if that venue requires COI, because they might not even allow your friend to come onto property and act as a vendor. Or oftentimes you can buy insurance separately for those people, as their, liability insurance. But then again, you're gonna pay out of pocket for that. So this is a big, big, big one, guys, the insurance. I want to go back to, you said there's just a handful of vendors that you actually don't allow on the property. Do you have any crazy stories of anything you want to share about anything that might have happened?
A couple. Let's see. We had a DJ called the couple by the wrong name for their first dance. Both of them.
Oh, no!
And had his girlfriend sitting there with him the whole time. She was just giggling the whole time and thought everything was just funny. And I tried to, you know, get him to straighten up, and he wouldn't straighten up, and the bride was just in tears. So we just sent him home.
Oh, you sent him home?
Yeah.
So what'd you do for music?
It was just the bride. I mean, I have 7,000 songs on one of my phones and plugged it up and they just let him go.
Oh, he's that bad,
to the speaker. He's bad. Yeah, it had been all day long, kind of, you know, going towards that direction. But the straw that broke the camel's back was calling them the wrong name and her just sitting there laughing and giggling about it and, you know, for their first dance. And it was heartbreaking for the bride. So she was like, can they just go? I was like, sure.
So what'd you do? How'd you say it? What'd you do? And how did you react?
I just told him that, that, you know, the bride and groom requested that he leave the property. And he packed his stuff up and left. And, you know, I've never seen him again. I don't know how he's doing in business. I would imagine it's probably either really well because he learned from that experience or he's not.
Wow. That's bad.
Yeah. Good way to look at
it. Other ones have been photographers. Sometimes they can be, you know, kind of, especially here, we've got such a big property. It's easy to get off task and, you know, and take that hour that you're supposed to have photos after, you know, the wedding and turn it into 2 or 3 hours because there's so many great spots.
Yeah.
You know, which that in turn throws all the other vendors off.
Yes.
You know, we've had some photographers who have, you know, said, hey, we'll come up there when we're ready, not when you're ready. So, of course, you know, they're not coming back.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Yeah. But for the most part, all the vendors are really great. I'm super fortunate to have an amazing team of vendors that I pretty much consistently use. And it's a big team of vendors. I don't use the same people every single weekend. So
you have a Facebook group of all of your vendors, huh? That must be a fun group to be part of.
Yeah, it's nice. It's easy. I had a girl who booked with me for the 28th of December this past past year. She booked with me in November. And the reason she was booking so fast was she decided that all of her family was coming to Georgia from Colorado for Christmas and that she might as well just go ahead and get married while they were all here instead of making them travel. So
I love it.
The day that she booked. I know. I love those weddings.
Yeah.
The day she booked with me, I went in the group and said, hey, here's my bride that I just booked. Here's her day. Here's the vendors we need. And here's the budget for each vendor. And we had all our vendors booked by the end of the day.
Ah,
that's a dream.
That's freaking awesome.
So these are kind of like the keys to the castle. Like you don't give out this Facebook group to just anybody who inquires for your venue.
I have people all the time who request to be, you know, in the vendor group. And I'm like, well, you're not actually really a vendor, one, and I don't even know you. Like, at least schedule a phone call or a Skype or something like that so we can get to know each other.
Yeah. But clients, too. If a couple asks you don't give it to them unless they've signed with you.
I have a separate Facebook group page that is for my clients and selected vendors so they can all talk in there.
That's so great. I love that.
Yeah, it just makes it easy for them to kind of get in there. They can talk to my past brides and get in that group and say, hey, who did you use for your wedding? I liked your photos and, you know, and stuff like that. Or can I buy that decor off of you? Stuff like that. And they get to know each other. And it's funny how often brides and grooms get in that group and realize they know other people that have gotten married here.
You give them that connection, but you don't have to do all the hand-holding and work to make it happen.
Right. Yes.
How many weddings are you doing there a year about?
I am doing about 40 a year here.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
All weekend. Those are all weekend weddings. And then we probably do about 10 to 15 smaller things, elopements and stuff like that. I love my elopements. They're so sweet.
During the week?
I do them on the weekend. I do them on the weekend. Most of the time they're on a Sunday evening if they're on the weekend. And so, you know, it's pretty easy to do. I've got elopement packages that go anywhere from 1 hour up to 4 hours.
Oh, that's so sweet. That's lovely. What's your wedding season in Georgia? What month to what month?
March through December.
Oh, it is. Okay. Okay. Cool.
Yes.
Okay. So back.
Oh, no, we got crazy Georgia weather. It's like 65 here right now, but yesterday it was, or the day before, it was like 33.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, lately that's how California's been. It's been very strange. Okay, so back to things venue owners wish couples knew. What else you got?
I think this one goes generally for the wedding business in general. I tell couples, I'm like, if you are sweet and easy to work with and respectful in the way you talk to your venue and your vendors, and meaning you don't blow up and have a bridezilla moment or talk to people like they're your servants, you're going to get so much more out of them, and probably a little bit more than what they even promised you. Just being nice really goes a long way, and not losing your cool. Cause I tell all my customers, I'm like, I don't know anybody in the wedding business that's in the business that doesn't want to be. So we all want to do this. That's why we're providing this service. So just be nice. If something goes wrong, rest assured, we're going to do our best to make sure it's swept under the rug and nobody even noticed and it's all good. So just being nice to everybody, it goes a long, long way.
And that's from the beginning, like from the first time mm-hmm. you call, from the first meeting you have, from when you're not even positive you're going to hire or book yet. It does, you're right, it does go a long way. And I also think that being nice and thoughtful, if you are trying to negotiate, is
yes.
another thing that couples can keep in mind, because when anybody calls us and the first thing they do is try to bring the price down, it's puts us in a place I don't think the most positive steps moving forward are going to be taken.
Like a little slap in the face immediately
at the beginning. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, don't slap me when we first meet. Let's just wait. But yeah, that's a huge thing, you know, that I think that people need to realize. And also that carries over into the couple's family members who can sometimes get a little too involved and try to, you know, talk to vendors and venues and stuff like that. I mean, could go down a rabbit hole with that. I mean, you know, letting two couples who let too many people get involved in their wedding decisions.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so. Yes. Oh, yes.
Yes. And then another huge thing is that children need to be with an adult at all times. Those cute little babies.
Yeah.
Weddings who want to throw, they want to throw all my rocks in the grass mm-hmm. and, you know, and break all the tree branches and run through the flower beds and, and get under the table and maybe pull the linen off. You know, they need to all be supervised. They need to have a grown-up with them at all times.
Yeah.
Do you often have people bring in like babysitters or a service and put the kids in a separate area?
I really don't. I think a lot of people here see that big open field out there behind me and they are like, oh, my kid will be fine. He or she can just run.
You know? Yeah.
And that's kind of the mentality of people I have in my contract, that, you know, that children have to be supervised at all times and I'm not responsible for, you know, anything, them running around and, you know, not being supervised by their parents. So
yeah, that's a good one. That's always the debate of children at a wedding anyway.
Yes.
And it's not just for little kids. We should note that like 12-year-old boys, you know,
they like to play with fire.
Yeah. Just walking away from their parents and exploring, or like, oh, they'll be fine. Or he has his phone. He'll call me if, you know, he falls. But it's like, we're also worried about like intentional things that might be done.
Yes.
So yes, keep an eye out.
Kids love to play with toilet tissue in bathrooms. Love it.
Oh, tissue in bathrooms. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
So after you started the venue, Dixie, then you took your certification to become a wedding planner?
I did. When I first started this, my intention was really just to rent the property and turn it over to people. But it became a thing where my couples were so attached to me that even if they had a wedding planner, if they were stressed out, something was going wrong, they would end up coming to me and want me to fix it. Mm-hmm. So I in essence ended up doing planning for my couples without being a planner. And then at a certain point, it just became obvious that I just needed to get certified and go the planning route and start doing this, because I would end up like my husband's clients, even though their child wouldn't be married with us, would call me and want wedding advice and stuff like that. And I'm like, that's all great and good, but I should be getting paid for that. For one. And, you know, and also, I mean, I just didn't want people to just kind of assume that because I'm here, that that's just automatically included and they get, you know, all of that time as well. So I had to really separate businesses and make it a whole separate identity. And I do, and I was doing venue coaching and stuff like that at that point in time for venues and, you know, stuff like that. So it just kind of made sense to go into that area as well.
So what year did you start doing weddings on the property, would you say?
2009 or 10.
And then when did you get your certification?
Oh gosh, I think 2015.
Okay. Okay. So you're doing it for a while before you're like, hey, yes. I need to, yeah. Now, do you, as a wedding planner now, I mean, do you offer full service or is it, are you always at your venue and you offer your service as like an add-on planning services?
Both. I do both. I do some weddings in Chattanooga and smaller events around here. We have another a venue that we kind of just opened. It's an airplane hangar. So starting to do that as well. So I'm, you know, for the most part, it's an add-on here at the farm, but I do take on other things as long as it's not inconvenient to my lifestyle. As you know, I mean, I'll be honest, I don't want to be up in Chattanooga at 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
So is it awkward when another planner is brought in on your property? I just feel like you would
not
be the, you would be the, like, the one who knows all the answers. So if I was the planner, I would still be deferring. I feel like I'd be saying like, I don't know, let me ask Dixie a lot.
Not at all. I love for other planners to come in. I think that, you know, I mean, yes, I've been doing this a long time. I don't know everything. It's nice to see other people and they're in the way they do it and, you know, and kind of learn from that. So, and I welcome it. I love to work with other planners and get to know them. I'm not really a competition person. I'm very much community over competition, so I'm great with it. Some of them may be intimidated sometimes, you know, but I do my best to make them feel at ease and let them know that I'm happy that they're here and hope that we can work together more in the future. I mean, bring all the planners on. That brings me business, recommending my venue or me or whatever, you know, that I think it's all a positive.
Right. 100%. And then you get a night off, kind of.
Yeah. Yeah, I get to. I watch from my little glass room here.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And then the bakery. When did that come about?
Well, there was the previous owner of that bakery had provided some wedding cakes out here, and she just kind of really gotten herself into a situation. Marriage kind of fell apart and stuff like that. Things were just getting really hard, and ended up asking me to help her get back on track. And so I did, and helping her to get back on track. And she just decided she would just assume walk away from it and not do it anymore. And I became an accidental bakery owner.
That's awesome. So you fun. Have that.
Oh, it's been really fun and entertaining. And, you know, again, something I never thought that I would be a bakery owner and in a, you know, doing wedding cakes and taking my girls to get more training. When we first bought this bakery, it was just a donut place. And so now we do everything.
Oh, wow. Wow. That's awesome. Okay. So where are we at here? Any more things that venue owners wish couples knew?
I think, you know, that pretty much covers it. Gosh, I'm looking at my notes here. I guess, you know, it's not necessarily huge, but having your wedding party raid your bar while your venue's getting set up sometimes is, you know, something we really wish they wouldn't do. We're up here trying to set up a venue and the wedding party's trying to get in there and raid the bar and be in the middle of everything. It just really throws everything off as far as vendor setup and completion and having the room or area look beautiful when guests arrive. Just don't do that. Like bring a cocktail or a bottle of champagne and have that in your room and then cut yourself off until it's time. You don't have to drink all day long.
Well, that's the thing with having them all stay on property, right? They're like, we can go where we want. Where's that bar? That's your alcohol. We'll break into that right now.
Oh yeah. It's like they're at Farm Vegas and they're just going to get here and drink the whole time. And I tell them all the time, I'm like, our photographers can't edit your drunk face out of a photo. Edit that.
That's a good rule of thumb overall in any wedding.
Do not get too drunk.
Yeah. Oh, it's a tough one.
Yeah.
What is this asshole clause?
Well, yeah, that's what here? I wanted to go to next, because we did talk about contracts, but
yeah,
you, and this is for us too, as planners, it's hard to sometimes put in the contract something along the lines of, you know, you respect me and I'll respect you. If this veers into disrespectful territory, I have the whatever legal right to pull my services. Or I know other planners have certain verbiage to protect themselves if, like, and we've all done this because something has gone really shitty where you're like, I can't work with these people anymore. They're calling me at 2 a.m. They're accusing me. I've had a client the first client I ever cut contract with, it was because they were extremely suspicious of me that I was getting kickbacks from vendors that I was suggesting. When I would never do that. And when my integrity is like questioned or called into suspicion, that affects me to my core. But also at the time I was working on their crazy timeline and their crazy budget. And so when I only, referred them to maybe one DJ, I remember this all like it was yesterday. And they were like, why don't we have more DJs to choose from? And I was like, because your wedding is in 3 weeks. And you wanted to do it on this timeline with that budget. And this guy is available. I've worked with him before. He's legit. He has insurance. And one more time, he's available.
Yeah.
And they questioned me so many times about that one. And then finally got to blatantly say, well, we think that he's giving you
a kickback. Oh my gosh.
And so I had to send this email and I remember my hands were all sweaty. I was like little baby Christy wedding planner and sent an email being like, you know, according to the contract, I'm going to bow out. You're on your own. And I had the right to do that. They weren't going to sue me or anything, but.
Were they really upset, Christy? Were they really angry?
No. I think, no, I don't know. That couple, there was no personal connection with. So I think I got an email back that was like, okay, thanks, bye. They were very odd and very difficult, but it was my first time to ever have to like put on my big girl panties and be like, I quit because I'm not being treated well. So you had a unique way of putting that into your contract or at least to telling us about it. And I think it's very worth sharing with people that are planning their wedding.
Yeah, it's my asshole clause. The name of it has since been changed because my attorney wasn't fond of it, but whatever. but it initially was called that. And it is all about being respectful on both ends. The client end, my end, it extends to family members. I mean, like I said, you know, we all as planners, venue owners work really hard to do our best to make everybody's dreams come true and make them happy. And to talk to someone in a rude way or, you know, even as far as flirting, stuff like that is not acceptable. And people need to realize that we are providing a service, but we are not a servant. And talking to us in rude, disrespectful ways is not going to be tolerated. And to doubt our integrity or second guess us or micromanage us, if they feel like they have to do that, then we're clearly not a good relationship and a good mesh. They shouldn't hire us.
Yeah.
So in the event that they do those things, it will be discussed first. And if we can't reach resolution through discussing it, then we're just going to, it's over. We're going to end that contract.
How often have you had to do that, Dixie? If ever?
Two times. Yes.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Both times, once they realized that, you know, the talk got nowhere with them. And then when I told them that I was firing them, they changed their tunes about things.
Oh, but you ended up firing them
the
anyway?
The talk didn't necessarily get anywhere. But once they realized, once the second time it happened, you know, came to resolution, and I'm like, we're not getting anywhere. So here is your contract back. This is null and void. And then they wanted to change their tunes.
And this was for the venue also?
For the venue, yes.
Yeah, because I think like when you have an actual, it's not just a wedding planner where she's pulling her services. It's like, oh no, that date and that property mm-hmm. that you have planned on because of your mm-hmm. behavior or decisions or way that you're treating me and the way that this is going, you're not going to have that anymore. Go find another venue. That's a little different than go find another planner, you know?
Yeah. This, the first time the bride in particular, she called me screaming numerous times because she didn't read her contract. So, and you know, screaming at me is not really allowed. And also name calling. You don't get to call me names. No. And then the second time was just a dad who just paid the deposit and, you know, booked it for his daughter because she wanted it. But then he felt the need to call me back and tell me all the reasons that we as a venue were not worth what we were charging.
Oh, geez.
And what he was willing to pay.
Man.
Yeah. It was delightful. Good days.
You know, I was listening to a podcast the other day about business, and this guy who's really, he's very good. His name is Michael Hilton, and he and his executive assistant were on, and they were just talking about executive assistants. Like, you know, how as business owners, whether it's an executive assistant or a virtual assistant or any help you have, I feel like it's just a life lesson. Like when you speak to someone, you're courteous and you're respectful, period, end of story. There are people out there that have this notion that as soon as they pay for something, as soon as they give money to another individual, they feel like this level higher than that individual. And it's just kind of like ingrained in their brain somehow. And it's just not cool. It's not okay. And it just, if we could all just like people, just be courteous and respectful, just be nice. Yes, you are paying for a service, but you have a contract in place. And if that party that you're paying is not delivering on that, then you got a problem, but it's not from the get go. You don't need to be treating right. people like that from the get go. Like, this is not okay.
We're all here for a good time.
Yes. Oh, yes. Oh man. That's just like,
including me.
That's just a tagline of me.
for a good time.
That's going to be the intro to the podcast from now on. Hey, we're all here for a good time, everybody.
That's right. I always tell people that weddings are like the most fabulous one-night stand. I mean, you all get together, you have a great time, you have cocktails, you love each other, and then it's over.
Yes.
So just, I'm like, have fun with it. And know that everybody who's providing your wedding services wants you to have the best day ever.
For sure. Love that.
I guess what I would love to hear from you, Dixie, is like what in a venue contract is a little bit flexible, and I'm saying before it's signed,
yeah,
that a client or a couple might be able to say like, we love all of this, but could we, I don't know, get into that wedding suite an hour early, or is it okay if we bring all of our linens the night before? Like there's these questions that sometimes don't come up until, you know, way after the contract has been signed, but
because
from your
they don't
perspective,
know about it. Yeah.
Yeah. What are some good things to look for in a contract or that clients can ask about and that you would be happy to change potentially?
Yeah. Well, I think the one thing that people kind of don't realize is, and I think most venues are, you know, I do have my set packages of, you know, what we provide, but I am willing to budge a little bit on that. I mean, especially like if, you know, they're, you know, booked a package for 250 people and all of a sudden they're just 100 people. Well, that's a whole lot easier for me. I'm definitely willing to budge, you know, on the price with that or give more time or do stuff like that. So I think, but I always have to tell people, I'm like, this contract has the stuff in it because it has to protect me and you, but we can negotiate on some mm-hmm. of this stuff. Don't think that just because it's that black and white, that it's literally that black and white, because it's often not.
You could pull something from package A into package absolutely. B if it's all there anyway.
Yeah, all you have to do is ask. The worst case scenario, it's going to be no. But that's a huge one. And I also think, you know, as far as contracts, people need to be aware of seeing if there's any, you know, any language in there about changing their date or postponing their date, or because life happens and things like death and birth and stuff like that that come into play and change, you know, people's abilities to have their weddings. So that's a huge part. Communication needs to be in contracts about what's okay and what's not okay, the hours of communication, because mm-hmm. as we all know, people wake up in the middle of the night thinking about their wedding and they will text you or call you, and you need to have,
do you have something that says you need to have respond within 48 hours or whatever, but not.
Yes, I do. But okay. I also have in there my hours of communication. I mean, for example, I work every Friday and Saturday, 15 hours a day, every Friday and Saturday. I'm not going to be available those days to answer. So I put that in my contract so people know that, so they can't go, well, I called you Friday and I called you Saturday and I didn't get an answer mm-hmm. from you. And then, you know, I'm like, Sunday, I'm probably not going to call you back either. So I have to put that in there for people so that they know what I expect and what's okay as far as contacting me. So they need to make sure that, you know, there's something in there about when it's okay, when it's acceptable. If there's some venues even say you can only contact me 6 times, which is crazy, but that's what some venues do. But that's something that needs to be in every contract. And that's also something that the client really needs to make sure that they take a good look at.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good one.
And of course, you know, like photography needs to be in there. A lot of times I tell people photographers will send me, you know, all the photos of a wedding, and because they want me to put it up on our website and stuff like that. So I have a clause in there letting the client know that if that happens and I do choose to publish or put their photos out there, I will, you know, inquire with them first to make sure that that's okay. But I'm not liable if a photographer sends me their photos.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So. And there's, you know, only been like 2 people who were like, nope, we don't want you to have our photos at all. And I'm like, that's fine. I'm good with that. So,
yeah.
But a lot of people don't know that it's not their choice who gets the photos, that it is the photographer's choice.
I know, they don't know that.
Which is something to look at with your photographer's
contract
as well. Yeah, I definitely have reached out to, we've had some other planners on where we've asked them to send us photos so that we can use them as promos. And sometimes they'll send us great photos, but I've now changed that to send us photos that you've gotten permission from the photographer to use, because I don't want to make that extra step, but I'm increasingly aware that the ownership always lies with the photographer themselves. So something to think about.
Absolutely. That's a whole nother episode.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Yes, it's very important. And so that's a whole nother episode y'all need to do.
Yeah. I actually just did a wedding last year. I'm so bummed. It's not for sure yet, but I probably need to look at, I might ask to look at your contract. I designed this amazing wedding, just something different, something I haven't done before, and with incredible photographers, like incredible. And I reached out, like I always do, like, hey, because they didn't get back to me. Usually they do. I was like, hey, I need those photos. I want to, you know, want to post. Well, apparently the bride was unhappy with the way she looked on her wedding day. This just happened this week. She did not tell me this on her wedding day, you guys. I did not know this. And he's like, this has never happened. Like, did you know this? And I'm like, no.
Wait, she wasn't happy with like her hair and makeup?
She wasn't happy with her dress and the way it looked on her, apparently. But she never told me this. She didn't tell me this on the wedding day. And she looked stunning. Like, I was like, I'm like, you look so good. The dress was incredible. And so he's like, they're not letting me release photos to anybody.
Not even and, element photos of like
oh. well, and
stuff
so
that she's not in.
Yeah, and this is yeah. So anyway, and actually, to every vendor that beforehand, they actually had everybody write into their contract they couldn't share photos of this wedding.
Oh, okay.
Specifically of them. But not detail shots. And so I've written to them and they haven't written back and said like, listen, first of all, I feel horrible that she feels this way, because she looked amazing, just beautiful, stunning. And I, you know, I was like, is there any way I could just get detail shots? Because I designed the hell out of this wedding and it was amazing. And I want photos from it.
You know, Meredith, aww. That we had on the planner in Texas. I don't know, it was just me and her, right? You weren't on it?
I don't think so.
She talks about how she posts photos of every wedding and that's really important to her on her Instagram. And it's not one of those like curated, ridiculous, over the top Instagrams. It's like real, these are all the weddings I do. And she'll post a picture or two of every wedding, no matter what. But she talks about how she included in her contract as the planner, I get photos of your, and she won't sign with somebody that won't let her have photos of the wedding.
Yeah.
Because she's like, that's my work. That's my only way to show other people. This is what I do. And she said, I try to push, you know, even for photos of the actual couple, because it's their happy faces that are the best advertisement for, you know, me to get more clients. So it is important. I mean, this is all very, the whole photography and ownership and sharing and how the photos are used, you need to be really specific in your contracts with all your vendors. If
yeah, I do. Hitch. I've never really had this. Yeah. So yeah, it's a bummer. Another thing, I don't know, Dixie, were you done with the contract stuff?
Yeah, I think that those are the most important things. Really, you know, I always tell people, I mean, I tell all my couples, whether they choose to get married with me, everybody that comes here, I tell them to never hesitate to reach out to me if they go somewhere and they're looking at a contract that they don't understand, because I want the couples to be well educated and know what they're getting themselves into. So I tell them I'm available for a call, you know, to even with somebody else's contract, to help them kind of understand the language and for something to be reasonable or unreasonable. So, you know, always reach out to somebody for sure as a couple if you don't understand what you're reading, including the venue or the planner, whoever you're signing that contract with, and ask questions.
Yeah, that's important. Communicate, ask questions, clarify. Once you sign it, it's done. We had a bullet point here that's separate, but I think it goes with the contract in that when you're working with a venue, what is included in terms of tangible items, such as tables, chairs, dance floor, you know, dishes, lighting, like what is included? What do you have use of, or what is an extra cost?
Yeah, that absolutely needs to be in there. And, you know, everything that's coming with their particular package. We have an Exhibit A where we include that, because some packages are different. And so we attach what's included in their specific package. And then we have an Exhibit B, which is a change form. So if they decide to add on something or take something off of that, we contract, put that in there as well.
Oh.
And have change orders and stuff like that. So that's really important.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, because it happens. You walk through a venue and you think, you see something set up and you think those shivari chairs or whatever are part of the package.
Right.
But actually what you didn't really ask that. You just saw them and the venue person might have been like, oh yeah, those are ours. We own those. Mm-hmm. But perhaps he or she didn't say, but they're an upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those chairs are actually another $9 a piece.
Or most often, even if you say it, people, when they love their venue, they're not hearing that.
No, they're not.
They've got stars in their eyes and they're really happy and excited. And they're really only taking in about 50% of what's coming out of my mouth. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Very good. Very good. Anything else before we wrap it up?
No, I think I'm good. It's been nice talking with y'all and getting to know y'all. And as always, I love listening to your podcast.
Oh, thank you. And thank you for your support, Dixie. We really appreciate it.
We had to plan a visit.
I think I told y'all I had a girl a while back who was just really trying to do it all herself. And I pulled her to the side and I was like, do you listen to podcasts? And she said, yeah. And I was like, you really need to listen to this podcast. I think it will help you in trying to understand what this beast you're trying to tame, which is called wedding industry. So yeah, I tell all my people to listen to it. And y'all are so funny. So not like others, you know, some wedding planners are kind of stuffy.
Yeah. But
flattery will get you anywhere with
that. That's right, Dixie. Yeah, I need to make it out to Rome, Georgia. I need to make it out to Georgia, period. Never been there before.
I know, or I need to catch up with y'all when I'm out your way. I was in California not too long ago at Laguna Beach and that area. So business stuff is going to be bringing me back out there a little bit more. And I've just been dying to go to Arizona and just vacation there.
It's really nice this time of year. I will give it that, Arizona.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
No summertime visits.
Yeah, don't go from May to September, but the rest of the year, it's very nice.
Don't want to melt. I'm sure, Dixie, that if anybody had any questions, and we might be able to forward those to you for you to answer them.
Yeah.
Awesome. Great.
And we'll include links to Dixie's venue on the website show notes, as well as we do with all of our guests. So thank you for listening today. If you are listening on iTunes, we hope that you subscribe and rate and review us. I mention this every time with the outro, but it matters a lot as we try to take this podcast to the next level in 2020. So if you have time, just leave a review, and that would be great. On Instagram, we are at the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, and we use hashtag plan that wedding for all of our posts. And we look for that on your posts as well, so that we can see what you're up to. We're on Facebook, and we have a Facebook community group that is growing, especially with all the newly engaged people this year. So welcome. Woo-hoo! And we're happy to have you. And we love all the conversations that are going on that Facebook group. I look at it at least every day, but everybody's commenting so much on each other's posts that I feel like, I don't know, we chime in for sure, but our input at this point would be echoing somebody else's. So it makes us so happy that y'all are interacting so much on that page. And the best way to get in touch with us with questions or comments or suggestions is if you email us thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to be a patron like Dixie and support this podcast and help us literally sustain it, you can do that on Patreon, patreon.com/thebigweddingplanningpodcast. And $5 a month for the months that you're planning your wedding, $10 a month, it goes so far for us. And if we're helping you, maybe you feel like doing that. We're also available for consulting, so reach out to us on email if you're interested in that. And if you want to hear your voice on a You Ask, We Answer episode, which is the last episode of every month, you can call us and leave a message.
And that number is 415-723-1625. And I'll also throw out there, because there's a lot of newly engaged people listening, Christy and I are available for hire. We are wedding planners. So check us out on our websites. And, you know, every listener gets a discount. Just going to throw that out there. Y'all get discounts. Okay. Okay. There it went. I did it. It just came at the very end. All right, everybody. Happy planning. Christy, love you. Love your show.
Bye.